I am a Muslim, not a terrorist. You see, it is the recitation of discourse. Your speech is free. Mine is expensive. The sugar on my tongue becomes a felt phenomenology of rotten lime. I implode within you, on top of Waziristan peaks, subservient to arbitration of internecine violence. This interested party is reaping and sowing politics in bazaars where pressed black cumin rains gold on tyrants and intelligence. All your tautologies now express biopolitical data sudokus, confusing bare life for its catastrophic new ontology, and death like dank air holds ungrievable. Your bullets pierce flesh made foal orchid as separatist Islamist. In the detention centre, mothers and fathers are gagged in costumes, their esophagus stitched together with their children's genitalia, their anus the source of divine poetics for jihadi joy. Those imps are murder, special forces sent in to disarm necessary measures in desperate times. Culpability displaced the drone command of X. The frame pulls you through in time to carve the Christmas turkey. Meanwhile, Angry Ali fucks America with hook-tied hands losing intricacy in totalized garbled protest slogans. Compare this not to those sympathies, their unclaimed ethical failures attached to traumatographic discord and talks of compensation for torture. I strike your dialectics with anterior resolve and awaken numbed in silent stress positions beneath these infrared end stops. I must evaporate through the sarin gas vortex like Meccan sands on a courser's wing mirror in the summer rain. The typhoons and tornadoes will drop their bombs within hours of democracy. Party divisions are fault lines for speech talk, and here I am, your terrorist sympathizer, kneading earthy dough out of Abu Ghraib's ashworks. Above, invisible crosshairs, the pain incarcerates damages. You emerge, fluffy with affect, open-ended and disillusioned by the festival of corpse exhibitions. These amnesties of analysis are journalistic without empathy for regions unattended by softwares. Sykes-Picot, voila, let's go back there and bulldoze for freedom. That mantra of false monochrome flags permits Sam Harris's epidemiology of Islam and Doug Murray's pathology of the infidel within the European fortress to vindicate Ars Historica in the midst of midday shadows. More white foreskins must preen like satire with human rights to vote offence and make Arab grave for Occidental cenotaph spectaculars. Those sanctimonious pirates have come to put dreamworks on steel slats, detaining these limbless orphans in the name of security from dictatorship. That policy is a terrific bunk bed, flashbanging your mind against brick, and those photographs were examples of sexual progress and liberalism. Even prisoners of war can beat democratic, militarized and bent back double gagged live on YouTube next to Saddam's hanging. Everything has slipped away into the algebra of the ballot box. Paper becomes shattered glass, crushed under turntables of navels in Aleppo where protest sings. This montage is a garb for unfreedom. It stipends our blood to loan sharks and weeps against the grain. It frightens us with pennies in its foaming mouth, biting down onto our burgundy passes like bullets in a kidney, like mud on an eyelid. At the breaking point, every newborn will wheeze with gunshots for economics. We will blame each other, as others, for joblessness and for borderless dividends. The media descends into the known chaos, pointing its shriveled white finger with the cocksureness of VAT for sugar. In barking their fit for purpose, mad with rage at foreign objects, eyesores for unempathic subjects. In the academies, this will all become a trauma, or a loss, or a memory, or an exhibition of Nachträglichkeit. Precarity has become the buzzword for whiteness, a whiteness so world interior that it mistakes itself for the critique of itself and forces that critique upon us. The drowned, bloodshot blue face is an icon for the nation state. You cling on to that corporate-sanctioned image of an innocent uncovered from rubble for confirmation that this life is worth living and that they haven't fought enough for theirs. Sympathy is an Aegean soup bowl, and the vitriol on the tip of your tongue, the rights discharge resurfaced as normal. After all, it is so unreasonable that an adult could just be a refugee and not a hidden killer. The ease with which white fear comes to be represented at a systematic level to commit systemic violence and siphon life away from its true expression in the day-to-day is not something to marvel at or be shocked by, but rather to resist with blood. With the memory of that moment on platform 6, when that child went to hold my hand, but the greeting is curtailed as his mother drags him away as if, "Don't touch him, don't sit near him." And what is worse, rejection by a mother and child, that image so close to home, or the understanding I have of her choice in this climate of fear? When we look in the mirror, we are made to fear ourselves. When you look in the mirror, you see the innocent, the victim. And you say these images are easy, simple. Don't experiment with your language enough. I resurfaced from the watercloth. My soul is with Lal Shabazz. Looking at the turn of the tourniquet, my neck exposed in the grey water, halved over borders, quartered in quarantine, my black gaping eyes of mourning. The watercloth took me into a new neurology. I felt compressed and bathypelagic like an uncontrolled urban spread, forced into a point. Lugging this burden of staying still with all the ways of knowing. This my era of discount at the gunpoint or the checkpoint. I am the snot dripping from that child's nose, the tears that child can't feel down its face. I washed up as human contraband, greeted by hazmats on the sandbanks. Left under tarpaulin at the mercy of your disinfectant sprays and orderly truncheons. I wore my hair proudly as a seashell necklace, swimming in endless, colourful coral. I swam across shores to find the pearl that will liberate me from this Russell's penance. The sea is so deep and majestic, swallowing us in admiration and fear. Take me to the bottomless depths of a person I wish to meet and to become. The waves crash onto the chalk and crash again and again and again into the loving torment you bring to me, drowning in your silence. My drowning nourishes your eyes, and in your passivity, overflowing all passivity before the simulation, you ban my existence without an apology. Is a bomb or a ban more palatable? When we go to sleep at night, do our mattresses rise up hysterical and regurgitate the stillborn traumas of unlivable lives? In the bitumen for comfort. I was the baying hound kept from a new moon. I long for but wine alone at the crescent's close. Fugacious yet fecund, they call me maniacal for my lack of hyacinths and abuse of poppy nationalisms. I stabbed his moth into my solar plexus, punched the new sky's plexiglass and cast each poem as a kiss of death to all words lying, resilient against your frame of silent witnessing, thankful for boot heels and bad mood's belt buckles. I shimmer in agony across the line, screaming through this bitten flesh. I saw you there in the pyrethroid hue, with your back turned in blue verdure. Their insignia was cauterized in your smile, leaving your shoulder blades ruptured as the date palm flutters its thorny wail. I found mud and shrapnel to make you, these maquettes, all prisoners to silicon tours. And there you stand with your pierced lips, gawking like slaughtered goats on Eid ul-Fitr.